Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is Gateway's Got It. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Remote Studios for episode 280 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs, and we are not together again because Julie is summering in Canada while the rest of us are sweating our balls off in Texas.
Yeah. So,
hi, Jules. Trying to get my home studio fixed up.
Yeah.
How's it going?
That's the cool thing about home studios is they can travel with you.
Yeah, I know, but we're still, this is going to be like week two of no booze mom game. It's kind of uncharted territory for us.
Who says that I don't have something in my coffee?
Because I know you too well. There's no chance you have something in your coffee.
Yeah, I should though. I really should.
You should.
Yeah, no. Another show from Canada. Still here, still cruising. The kids just were getting off to rock climbing camp with their cousins, and we have moved houses from my brother and sister-in-law's house to my father-in-law's house because he and his girlfriend are on a RV trip across Canada. So they left 2 days ago and we moved in. So we're just kind of like house hopping around here.
Okay, fun. Speaking of a cross-country RV excursion, yeah. Mike keeps saying, like, next summer, do you want to do like a cross country train ride stop thing? And I'm like, sure. What, you just tell me where to be and what to pack, and I'll be there because I'm not planning that shit. I'm not, first of all, I don't care to go cross country on a train making stops. I want to go sit my ass on a beach in Florida.
That just like surprises me as a Mike presented idea.
It's a presented idea that he wants me to execute.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, throwing something out there.
Planning.
Yes. And I'm not doing that. Our family vacation has been the same for the last 11 years. We've gone to Seaside, Florida for, you know, a week plus. Now we've kind of pushed it to 10 days, 11, whatever. And it's glorious. I know exactly what to pack. I know exactly where we're going. I know exactly where we're staying. I know exactly where we're going to dinner. And that makes me a control freak and very boring. And I acknowledge all of those things. But I'm a creature of habit and I like going to the same place every year. Now, that doesn't mean that's the only place I ever want to go. But for our summer vacation, that's what my kids have grown up doing. I've gotten in a real routine with it. And I love it. And so now he's trying to interject this train tour across America. And it sounds awful.
This is his subtle way of saying, like, okay, let's change
Says it every year. He says it every year. And I'm like, okay.
When you're going to a very extreme, saying it has to be a train tour across America. Not just like a different beach.
But then I'm like, why the different beach? Like, it's sand and the ocean and it's right there. Like, why do we need different sand and different water? Like, we like the sand and the water where we've gone the last 11 years.
There's like traveling extraordinaires that would be just like cringing right now.
Well, they all are. There are
I'm not one of them. I mean,
people are yelling at me right now and saying I'm dumb and uncultured and, you know, controlling and what. Yes, all of those things.
Do you have like desire within you to go like to different countries or to like travel and see the world? And I think about that a lot because I don't do much.
So I said that. So we all know I don't like to fly, Not a good flyer. I mean, with the proper medication, I think I'd be fine. And I always said this, even before I got married, I said, if I marry someone who really wants to travel, I'll get over myself and do it. It's just not something that burns within me. And Mike isn't, he's not really like, he just got back from a fishing trip in Colorado that he's been on like three times, but he loves it. He thinks it's amazing. He goes to Port A all the time. Like, he's got his places too, that he likes to visit, and go with the boys or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I think my kids are starting to want to do more traveling, because they, some of their friends have gone like overseas and done these different things and they kind of want to go. But then when it comes down to it, like, we'll pose the question, do you want to go to Europe or do you want to go to back to Florida for summer vacation? And they always say Florida, 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 Florida. And so I think maybe once they get older, we might do that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not ruling anything out, but it's just not something I've been yearning to do. Same thing with like my kids and Disney. Like, my kids have never been to Disney. You know why? Because they haven't whipped my ass about it. And I feel like that's such an expensive trip that you, they're going to have to whip me into submission before I'm going to shell out the money that it takes to do Disney.
Yeah.
You know?
We're getting whipped a little bit.
You are?
For that. Yeah. I mean, I think mine are just at the age where all they're hearing about it from their friends like all the time. And then they had this light bulb moment where they're like, why am I not getting, like, why are these other, well, you know, and it's going to be a long road ahead because there's going to be a lot of that. Like, why are these other people getting this or that or traveling here or there? And we're not, you know, but I have tried to like maybe hold it, like dangle it for like a year long bribe, like behavior bribe, you know, like I got to get something out of this. But yeah, when you see, I don't even know how much it would cost. We took Isaac, my stepson, who just turned 22, which is insane.
That is crazy.
We took him when he was like, I don't know, 9 or something. And I mean, it was expensive, definitely, but I feel like it's probably doubled in cost now. Like, I don't even know how much it would be to bring a family of 4. Are we talking?
I would
like,
say all in flights. I would say flights, hotel, if you're going to do any of the fast pass stuff, because apparently like now it's not, it's miserable if you don't, because you're standing in line for 2 hours to go on a ride.
Everyone does the fast pass, just like everyone now does TSA check-in.
Yes. Yeah. And so I would say you're looking at 10 grand for a family of 4 minimum.
My gosh. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
we won't be doing that for a while.
So anyway, I don't really know how we got on that conversation.
Just traveling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's
expensive. It is crazy though. Cause when you do travel and see how awesome and beautiful like other parts of the world are, then you're like, how was I not doing this before? Like, you know, how have I just been fine not going and doing these excursions? And, you know, I don't know. I think about that just being here. It's just so beautiful and chill. And this isn't even like a exotic vacation, but there's so much, I don't know, so much of the world to see. I do hope to see some of the world outside of Mexico and Canada and the US someday.
Yeah. Plan to leave North America.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not sure it's in, I don't know. I mean, like, I see pictures of places, I'm like, oh, that looks beautiful, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just boring.
Whatever works for you, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Different strokes for different folks for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. What else is going on? How are the kids?
The kids are good. They're just really enjoying time with their cousins, which is great.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really cute. We were in the same house for 10 days. So they're all snuggling at night. And my brother-in-law does this thing that they're all obsessed with, which is kind of crazy. With ChatGPT, like, you can write a bedtime story in like 30 seconds. So he'll like put in ChatGPT, like, he'll have each of the kids pick, like, okay, Anna will say unicorns, Ryder will say fish, and then Eliza, the cousin, will say going on a picnic. So you'll say that, and then you'll say their names, and then all of a sudden there's a story about the 4 cousins with unicorns and fish going on a picnic. So it's really cute. It's kind of crazy that you can write that quickly and easily. But that is, it's really precious. They all just like, you know, crawl in bed together and hear the story. And they were sleeping boys in one room, girls in one room. And they did one RV overnight camping trip with their grandpa and Carol, whose house I'm in now. And they sent us a little picture, and like the boys were all snuggled up and the girls were all snuggled up sleeping together. You know, it's just like so sweet because they don't have those like siblings, and we don't have cousins like that close to home in Dallas or anything. So I feel like that's just the best, the very best part of this trip. And we talk about too, like how it might even be better. Like it's, you know, there's a lot of people, especially in Dallas, I feel like their cousins are like in school with them or like live in the neighborhood and you see them all the time. But when you, which is, would be great and wonderful. But like when you travel and you get this like really condensed time together, maybe it's a different kind of special, right? Where you look forward to it all year and then you're spending like all your time together. Same with any family, I guess, not just cousins, but like if you have in-laws or your parents in a different town, when you do see them, they're usually in your house and staying with you versus just like, we live in the same city and we kind of get together, you know? So yeah. It's, there's pros and cons. And I'm always sometimes a little sad that we don't have cousins or grandparents in Dallas, but when we do get to go visit them, it makes it really special. So I don't know.
Well, good.
Trying to glass half full it, but that's like the best part. And then, Kelly and Ryder went fishing yesterday, caught a big salmon. So that was fun. Ryder got to hold the salmon and then feed the salmon parts to the seal. And, you know, just all this cool stuff that's like part of their day-to-day life that seems so like foreign to us, like hanging out with seals and otters and going salmon fishing. And it's just like a part of their everyday experience here.
Yeah, that's
part
fun.
Of the reason we love it. Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad y'all are having fun.
Yeah. What about you?
So Hattie will get back from Virginia today as we tape on Tuesday. She's been in Virginia since last Wednesday. So since she bailed early from camp, she had been wanting to go see my sister. We weren't sure it was going to be able to work schedule wise. And so we decided to put her on a plane, and she's been with my sister in Virginia for the last almost week, and she'll get home tonight. Yeah. So flew by herself, which that was her first time flying by herself. Henry's done it a couple of times. It was a very strange feeling putting your child on a plane by themselves.
Yeah.
So I downloaded this app where you can track the flight and all this kind of stuff. So I'll be doing that again tonight, but was having a blast with her cousins. I'm ready to get her back home. It's just too quiet with no, I mean, it's only been 48 hours without kids in my house because Henry got dropped off for camp Sunday. He'll be gone for 2 weeks, but it's just weird. I mean, I think last year I worked a lot because they were both gone for 2 weeks. But now that I'm not working as much, I'm not working at all while Henry's at camp. And so it just feels weird to be at home so much with no children in the house.
Is that like when you did your paint project?
Oh, I'm sure. Like, there's no telling what shit got done around here when they were children.
Organizing paint cans in the garage. I think that.
Yep. That's a good one. So yeah, my kids are good. You know, I've just been busy working a lot on my insurance stuff, which I do want to delve into sometime when we're back together, about kind of what I've been doing the last few years. In the insurance space. But yeah, so lots of work with that. You know, and then just kind of trying to do stuff around the house and kind of, I try to enjoy it. Like I laid out for a little bit yesterday, which I never do.
Yeah.
So yeah, trying to enjoy it. Mike and I went on a date night, last night. So yeah, super chill, not very exciting, which I definitely don't mind. So
yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Let's do a little sports scorting. We should tease. We have a really cool guest coming up. She's the chief marketing officer for, I think, global partnerships for Google.
Global marketing operations.
There we go.
At Google. Sarah Armstrong. She was great.
Yeah. So we're going to roll that in here in a little bit, but we got some sports and some feed and some news stuff to talk about first. Let's get going with the sports stuff.
Yes, and Sports Scorts today brought to us by our friends at Rev Entertainment. They're always at the helm of fun baseball experiences, and here is one more to make sure that you know about, because there's still some time to make summer memories at the ballpark. Head to Cleburne. It's just 30 minutes south of Fort Worth. You can catch the Cleburne Railroaders before their season comes to a close. And there is a special code for Mom Game listeners that want to take your kids to experience some Cleburne Railroaders baseball. You can buy one, get one free tickets on any remaining home game with the code Mom Game. Mom Game, all one word, all caps at checkout. Get your tickets at railroaderbaseball.com. I mentioned here going to the West Coast League Nanaimo Bars or Nighthawks baseball game with the family. And it was so fun, just a different baseball experience, like lower level, like you're right up there in the part of the action, and just seeing how the at its core, it's like the sport that brings everybody together at all different levels. And I think it's super fun to take your family to a different experience like that. So one last time, railroaderbaseball.com, and use the code MOMGAME at checkout for buy one, get one free tickets.
Yay. Okay. Quick hit on the Rangers. Josh Young is back from the minors. Homered in his first game back. Rangers are, instead of being a couple games below 500, are starting to work in the above 500 realm, which is good. Offense has definitely picked up over the last month. Still a ways to go, a ways to go in the division, but definitely in the mix in the wild card. They're definitely making things interesting, which is good. But they just kind of continue to hover around, are you a buyer, are you a seller? And we're now about a week out from the trade deadline. So it will be interesting to see what moves they make, if any, or if they just stand pat. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. Cowboys started training camp. Here we go with the inundation of Cowboys talk. We'll do it sparingly here just because I think everyone gets a little tired head at times from the overload of Cowboys content.
I guess Jerry was already creating drama. Micah Parsons saying something about Dak Prescott. It reminded me of the conversation we had last week about, like, well, I paid them, they need to produce, you know. He's kind of essentially saying the same thing. Like, you give these guys these big contracts. He said, I made Dak Prescott the highest paid quarterback and he missed 3/4 of the season. It's like, well, yeah, he got hurt.
It's a contact sport.
He gave me a lot of money, but like, he still has a body that can break when he's playing football. Like, but Jerry Jones has got to be like the king of those types of quotes.
Right.
And you talk about how he has no filters now, right? Too,
yeah, but what's frustrating about him is like he played football in college. Like, he played for Arkansas. He was a Division I football player. Like, you would think that guys like that know, like, I've been in this game. I know how physical it can be. I know how injuries can happen. I know how you can try to bust your ass to be good and you're just not for a stretch or a season or whatever. And so I just think that sometimes, you know, the lack of the out of touchness with reality is sometimes is ironic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and two, I think for a lot of them, these you're talking about very rich, powerful people that are used to controlling situations. And when they can't, they'll fire a guy in the business world, or they're a girl or a whatever. They'll take action. This is stuff that's out of their control. And I think that there's something to be said for that, that a lot of times these people who are in positions of power just expect whatever they want to happen. And because they've taken the proper actions to ensure that it will by paying them a shit ton of money, then why isn't it happening? And it causes frustration. And, you know, it's not funny, but it is kind of like, do you realize how all this works?
Like, they realize, like you said, he played football, he gets it, but until it's like severely affecting his pocketbook and his bank account, like that's when all like realistic knowledge goes out the window. Right. It's like he knows very well what happens to football players often is getting hurt.
Yeah.
But after you get giant contracts, like, you shift your perspective because now money's involved and now it's
then it's your wanting.
It's all about
I get it.
Money.
I get it.
Speaking of, did you see the Netflix document or the Netflix show that's going to be coming out soon. I saw a preview of it.
I've heard about
it. No idea this was, you did hear about it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's been talked about for ad nauseum for a while now.
I had no idea that this was something that was going to be happening. I guess it's talked about on the radio. I haven't been listening.
Yeah. It's controlled by him.
Yes. America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys, chronicles a 90s NFL powerhouse, but it's actually coming out now here pretty soon on August 19th. So that'll be interesting. Yeah. Jerry Jones trying to tell the story of Jerry Jones with Netflix holding.
But again, it's
land, like, basically.
Yeah. So we're going back three decades because there hasn't been anything for the past three decades to talk about positively.
Yeah.
As far as the performance of the team. You know, so it's, I mean, listen, the dude is a master marketer, a master entertainer, a master promoter. I don't know that there's anyone better in sports than he is, but it's,
yeah, he is an icon, and that's this is, you know, essentially saying, and following the decade plus journey led by his intrepid business moves that revolutionized global sports and resulted in three NFL titles.
Yeah, and all of that
interviews and never before seen footage. How is there possibly any never before seen footage left from that era? Like, every single person has tried to squeeze anything possible out of that era of Cowboys football. How has someone been holding on to something that hasn't been?
Well, I mean, unless there's like Jones home videos, I don't know. I mean, I think I'll watch just for out of curiosity's sake, but yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that anything new could come out of this. I mean, they've been talking about the 90s Cowboys for the last three decades, you know?
I know.
So anyway, yeah, we'll have to watch it. We'll have to watch it just for fun.
The Cowboys, you know, the truth, you don't. Oh my gosh. This is probably why people hate us so much.
Yes, probably. Mm-hmm. Okay, did you watch any of the Open Championship?
It was on at all times in my world. Just as most golf is, my husband is very obsessed with anything golf, whether it's girls, men, whatever. But the quote, so Scottie Scheffler won the Open Championship, which was great. He's the best golfer in the world. He's the one that now everybody's kind of trying to reach. And he's the standard. It was super cute seeing him win, seeing the little baby. Did you see the little baby running out onto the golf course to give him a hug and then falling down? It was precious. But what really like caught my attention, and I don't know, I don't necessarily think that it's coincidence, but Scottie Scheffler, as they were preparing to play the Open Championship, the British Open, I mean, in golf, they have the longest press conferences. They have to sit up there and the media asks them, like, you know, every single question that they can possibly come up with, all about their personal life most of the time, all about their mental state, all about their clubs, all about everything. I think it's amazing that the golfers do this and continue to. But there were some really awesome quotes that came out of Scottie Scheffler's like pre-tournament press conference, and they were kind of all over social media. And I think he's just somebody that is so focused. Like, it might seem like he doesn't have a giant personality like, you know, Bryson DeChambeau or Brooks Koepka or even Rory McIlroy is a little bit fiery. Like, Scottie Scheffler is just very straight on the straight and narrow. Like, he's very focused. He's deadpan. He's got his little wife and his baby, and they have their Christian beliefs, and that's them. But it was really cool to hear these quotes coming from Scottie Scheffler, because it was a very like existential conversation that he brought up about like, why are we doing this? Like, why does this matter so much when it comes to sports and when it comes to winning tournaments? I don't know if you heard him, Em, but I have him here. I was going to read some of it. So he said, he's obviously won tons of golf tournaments to now, it probably is a little bit of old hat to him. He's the best golfer in the world. But he said in response to a question about winning or trying to win yet another this year's Open Championship. He says, it feels like you work your whole life to celebrate winning a tournament for a few minutes. It only lasts a few minutes, that euphoric feeling. He said, to win the Byron Nelson at home in Texas, I literally worked my entire life to become good at golf, to have an opportunity to win that. You win it, you get to celebrate, hug my family. My sisters are there. It's an amazing moment. And then it's like, okay, now what are we going to eat for dinner? Life goes on. And then he said, what's the point? Why do I want to win this tournament so bad? That's something I wrestle with on a daily basis, showing up at the Masters every year. It's like, why do I want to win this so badly? Why do I want to win the Open Championship so badly? I don't know. If I win, it's going to be awesome for 2 minutes. Then we're going to go to the next week. And it's like, hey, you won 2 majors this year. How important is it for you to win the FedEx Cup playoffs? And we're back here again. So interesting. Like, even that is, that's what the media does. You win and then you go to the next tournament and they're like, okay, well, now you've won 2. What's it going to feel like if you can win 3? And to just kind of have a no BS answer about, this is how I feel. And I don't understand why we all care this much. And it's, you feel good for a few minutes and then you move on with your life. I thought it was really cool to hear him say that. And then also just talking about now that he's a father, like he said, I think one of the quotes was like, I would much rather be a good father than a good golfer. And if golf gets in the way of my marriage or gets in the way of me being a good father, I'm not going to do it anymore. So just really like big kind of profound words and thoughts from him. And he's only 29 years old. It's crazy. And I don't know. I think it's really good because for so long, sports have been, you put these people up on a pedestal, you put winning a title up on a pedestal, and it all funnels down to when our kids are learning how to play a game. They're trying to be like Michael Jordan. They're trying to go, you know, be like Steph Curry and go win a title. And you get to that point and it's like, now what? Now what? Like, what am I working for? So I just thought that was very cool. And obviously, like, the quotes went spread like wildfire, and a lot of people were talking about him saying that. And I wonder if any other golfers are like imagine if you feel that way but you never win and you're just out there like paying to travel, you're like trying to make the cut. It's like, what?
Well, and don't you think that's part of it though? Part of the fact that he's in this place is because he has experienced so much success and he's reached a level of contentment in his career at a very young age. I mean, I don't think he's 30 yet, but
yeah, he's 29.
I don't know that Scottie Scheffler would be saying those things had he not experienced this success so soon and already and the amount of it, right? Like, I don't know that some guy like Joel Damon is out there, you know, feeling the same way because he is just struggling to stay on the tour and keep up. And you know what I mean? So I think some of it's a byproduct of that he's reached. And it's like with any career, once you reach a level of contentment, you're like, I busted my ass so hard to get to this place. And now I'm just, and then it's like the bar just keeps going up, which
yeah,
to an extent, at what point do you decide like this is as high as my bar is going? I mean, you know, I struggled with that early in my motherhood, like, because I was so very career driven for my, I mean, I knew what I wanted to do from the time I was in like fifth grade. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do. And my whole existence was trying to get to the next place, to get to the next stop, to get to the next, achieve the next thing or get the next job or whatever. And then once I had kids, and it wasn't even right after I had Henry. I mean, it took them getting a little bit older before I was like, this isn't my identity. And I still love this job and I care about this job and I want to be good at it, but it just doesn't matter as much as it used to. You know what I mean? And I think for some people, they never get there, that it's always like drive, 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 drive. What's next? What's next? What's next? And, you know, we're all wired differently, but I know it took me a while before, you know, I tied so much of my identity to the Rangers and to being on television. And now I just don't really care about being on TV. I don't, those things don't drive me. They don't motivate me.
Yeah.
Now what motivates me is raising kids that are good humans, that aren't a-holes, and, you know, being the best mom that I can be. Is that 100% of my focus all the time? Absolutely not. But I think that Scotty, I think it's the I think it's awesome the way he talked so openly and so honestly. But I do think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he has achieved so much already that it's like, why am I trying to keep doing more? And it's not bringing me the same joy that it used to because my priorities have shifted.
Yeah. And no coincidence that he's got a little child now and now he's saying this, right? Yeah. Like that it's a combination of winning and being a dad. And
oh, for sure.
Saying like it, we've talked about how it just changes your perspective, right? On everything, like you were talking about with your career. I also was reading, you know, Sam Ponder did an interview for the first time this week that was all over my feed. And she's essentially saying the same thing, like, but she was fired like abruptly because of her thoughts on females or males participating in female sports or whatever, and ESPN let her go. And it was interesting too, hearing her say like, I'm grateful because she's got like three kids. I'm grateful for that because, and she had made it to the pinnacle, like ESPN hosting Sunday night countdown or NFL countdown on Sundays. She'd done ESPN sidelines. She'd done everything. And then she got fired and she's like, I needed that. Like I needed to have a reality check. I was letting my career take over and I was missing out on my family. Now she's like homeschooling and like spending all her time with her kids. And so it's just interesting. It's, you know, whether you're Scottie Scheffler or Sam Ponder or you or me, it's just how having kids really changes your perspective on your career. I just loved hearing Scotty say that because I feel like he doesn't like make headlines much for what he's saying, and the fact that he finally made headlines just because he was being so real and so honest. And I bet a lot of golfers were kind of looking around like, yeah, why am I? But then like probably the PGA of America is probably like, shit, what? Don't say that. Like, we need all of these kids to grow up and try to win tournaments and think that this is the end all be all in life. Like, because really at the end of the day, like nothing matters besides your health and your happiness.
Yeah. But no, I love it too.
Very cool. Very cool. He's an awesome man. He's a good pie in the sky guest goal for the mom game.
Yeah. He's a good egg. He is. I met him after he won his first Masters. He came to the ballpark and threw out the first pitch.
Yeah.
Wore the green jacket. And I was like, I remember asking Dave and CJ, I was like, should I ask if I can try on the green jacket? They're like, oh my God, don't you dare. And I was like, I was kidding. I'm going to ask him to try on the green jacket.
Jeez. Were you though? Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't thought about it. And then they shut me down. Right.
Instagram photo. Yeah.
Do what?
So talk about a mic drop Instagram photo if you're in the green jacket.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine the heat I would take though from people? Oh, Lord, it's not, that is sacred. You should not, whatever.
Right.
Okay. You talked about your feed. There was one thing in the last week that has blown up everyone's feed. So let's get to it. Brought to our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media.
Yes. Audrey Dolan's Media can help you with all kinds of things when it comes to your small business. Some of those things include influencer management, brand management, monetization management, collaboration management, influencer campaigns, content creation and photography, social media management, website design. And we have a newsletter in case you weren't aware. Make sure that y'all are subscribed to our newsletter. If you just go to our website, themomgamepod.com, there will be a little pop-up. You type in your email address and it's just another fun way to follow along with everything that we're doing, what we're talking about on the show, all of our coupon codes, our Like to Know It clothes and things that you can purchase. But they do all of that for us too. So they can help you with your newsletter. They also designed our website, themomgamepod.com. They're awesome and super amazing to work with. And if you are needing help with any of those things with your business, make sure to reach out to them, audreydollins.com.
Yay, ADM. Okay, so we talk a lot about things going viral. This went viral, and it's the Coldplay Kiss Cam CEO and HR director get busted on the Kiss Cam. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you literally have to be living under a rock.
Yeah,
I think everybody kind of knows the gist of it and what's happened. What what has disturbed me is, and this is kind of back to the ChatGPT thing that you talked about with your kids at story time. Like, that's a sweet, innocent use of ChatGPT. But ChatGPT is AI, right?
Yeah.
Same thing. I mean, or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. It's like the main search engine for
AI stuff.
Here's another one, like Google, like Gemini, each big, I don't know. There's some competing ones. That's the biggest one.
Okay. It's all extremely confusing to me. All of it. Way over my head. I don't even see how AI is possible and it exists and it could possibly take over the world and kill us all, apparently. But what kills me is that, and we talked about this during the Texas floods, like there's so, I can't tell what's real and what's not. I literally cannot tell on my feed, on my whatever. I can't tell what's real or not. Whether it's a reliable news source, whether for like real stuff, like remember that story about from some paper, local paper down in Central Texas about there was two girls rescued from a tree or something, you know, 3 days after the flood started. And, you know, and that turned out to be not true. And it's like, what? Oh my gosh. Like it's insane. So this happens between this couple, astronomer CEO, I guess astronomer is a company. I don't know what they do.
I think it's like software.
Do what?
I think it's like a software type thing.
Okay. Technology. So he's the CEO and then his HR director, they're nuzzled up at the Coldplay concert. Chris Martin, he's on the Kiss Cam. They are on the Kiss Cam. They duck out of sight, completely freak out when they see themselves, which if you had just the slightest bit of chill, this probably wouldn't have blown up. But
they were so funny.
The slightest bit of chill, like just the littlest bit of chill. But anyway, they didn't chill at all. Zero chill. They get busted. It goes viral. And so it's out there. It's obviously real video. I mean, you know, it's real. But the thing that's killed me is like the stuff that's come out afterward, like the statement from him, which the first one I saw was not true. And then there was like a TikTok from one of their daughters that's like saying that like your parents got outed or your mom or your dad got outed and you're just chatting.
Is that not real?
I have no idea. That's the thing. I can't tell what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
So it's such a weird time to where it's like, and then, I mean, they just got crushed and they were not doing right things, but I don't know. Can you imagine? Like you go from a complete virtual anonymity to now everyone knows you and is just effing clowning on you all day long.
Yeah. It's crazy. Apparently, he's already stepped away from his role and they hired like a new interim CEO that looks like he's like 12 years old. Some guy's probably like, hell yeah, finally CEO. And then there was a picture of her, the Kristen girl, like and her family at dinner, apparently just hours before the show. It just makes you think about like how crazy people can be. Like, go have dinner with your family and then go meet your I guess boss at a Coldplay show. Like, what do you tell the family? Like, what do you tell the kids? Like, I'm just going to go out for drinks with Cindy. And then you go to a Coldplay show and go like frolic around and snuggle with your boss and some sweet or something. And then the picture of his wife with three kids, like she's in the kitchen. She's like Susie Homemaker with three kids. And like, she's smiling. I don't know where the picture came from, but there's all these like memes that are like, smiling because I'm going to be very rich very soon, you know, just like, so he left the three kids, she left the two or three kids, and then they go like, but a lot of people do this shit, like, and I think it's just so many people are unhappy in their lives and in their marriages and don't know how to properly speak or communicate maybe to their spouse or go have a talk to a therapist. Like, how is all of that better than just like saying that you need a break or you need a, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that was just that's kind of what I took away from it is like how the reality of how many people are doing shit like that and sneaking around and then they get busted. Never in a million years expect to get busted the way that they do. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their careers. They're losing their family. Like, all for what? Like old people sex?
whole people set.
Like, really? Like, come on. It's just crazy. Like, just look at the person you're married to and say, you know what? I'm unhappy. I would like to talk about this and let's work through it together. Maybe it's time for us to split up. If you're that unhappy that you're going to go to a fucking Coldplay show, leave your family, leave your kids, or put them in their little beds at night, kiss them on their head, and then go to a Coldplay show and have an affair. Like, I don't know. I know this happens a lot, but it's just seeing the reality of it and then seeing the pictures of them. And if it was really her the night of having dinner with her husband, who's also some bajillionaire guy, it's just insane. And I wonder how many people are like, maybe not doing that, but a lot of people are unhappy in their marriages and in their life and don't know what to do. And they end up doing that just to like go do it with someone.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we could get into all the breakdowns of marriage and therapy and all that kind of stuff. But I think there still is, and I think it's getting much, much better, but I still think there is such a stigma attached to marriage, you know, couples therapy or anything like that. And especially, not to stereotype, but from the men's side, that it's, they're just not, I mean, in the experiences that I've, or the conversations that I've had with women, that's not something a lot of men are willing to do. And so, because I think a lot of women are afraid to even approach that because they know what the answer is going to be and how it's going to be met. You know, I've said this a million times. Mike and I went to a marriage counselor. I can't remember when it was. It's been many years ago, more than 10. And she basically told us, like, we didn't know, y'all don't know how to fight. You don't know how to, you're going to fight. You're going to argue. Like, y'all don't know. Y'all are terrible at it. Like, you've got to figure out how to argue, how to disagree, and how to resolve it. And that was our main issue.
A lot of people, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, I think that could be the case for friendships and for, you know, but being able to express your feelings, I think, is slowly gaining some traction, but it's definitely not where it needs to be, on any level. But yeah, I mean, that whole thing just, God, it took off. The internet is ruthless. I mean, it's so very ruthless. And like I said, just going back to, like, I kind of stopped paying attention. Not that it's not, you can't avoid it, but I stopped like clicking on stuff or whatever. I'm like, I don't care about the statement that he issued. I don't care about the statement she issues. I don't care. I just don't really care. It was crazy to see how quickly it took off.
And funny because Chris Martin was like, oh, they're either having an affair or they're just really shy. Like, yeah. And so now there's like Coldplay cameras around different games, minor league ballparks everywhere where they will settle and then freak out. Like, that's going to be the new Coldplay concert. Coldplay has, you haven't heard much about Coldplay in a while. Well, now they have a whole nother thing that's going to be associated with them. Coldplay cams probably at every sporting event for the next year, where people can pretend like they're getting caught having an affair on camera.
Yeah.
So funny. And another way that you, like, the internet and social media just shows how quickly things can spread. And I was welcome to it because it sucks for them, but for everybody else, it's pretty harmless and everyone's laughing. And I needed something else on my feed besides all of the terrible news from Texas, you know, like, there's something else to look at, because that's still very present in our world here in Texas. And I think we've had a lot of, like, and with politics and like everything, there's been a lot of like heavy stuff. So that might be why people glom on to things like that so quickly and it spreads like it does. It's just something like they're the ones that have to deal with it, and it's not nice for them, but everyone else is just laughing. Kind of fun.
Yeah. Speaking of, you brought up the Texas floods. Obviously, hearts still with that region. It's crazy, you know, how much devastation has taken place down there. We talked about Josh Weathers, the concert that he put on a couple weeks ago. I think they're over $500,000 raised. Josh was down there, like, delivering supplies just this week. And then shout out to Pat Green, our friend, who lost his brother, sister-in-law, and two nephews in the floods. He put on a benefit concert that raised over $1 million, and the Do It For Dirt Foundation was able to be associated with that. So we can help facilitate the distribution of those funds to where they're needed. So huge shout out to Pat, his wife, Corey, and all of their friends who came together to raise more. I think it was over $1.2 million to help the victims and those affected by the Central Texas flood. So super good work that people are doing in light of such a horrible tragedy.
Yeah, truly amazing to see the good when something terrible like this happens. There's so many people that are willing to help. And that was pretty incredible what he did. I watched some of it. We were like, you know, I was in my car on my phone up here, but, you know, he could barely speak at some points just because he was so distraught. And to be able to kind of channel that and figure out how to raise money. And I think it was probably therapeutic for him. You know, Kelly and I were talking about, it's like you hear athletes, if something terrible happens, they want to go out and play. Like they want to go, it's the best way to kind of get it off their mind. And you could tell that he was trying really hard to act quickly and do something. And really amazing how much money they were able to raise. And we have an event coming up too. Quick shout out, because there will still be a little bit of time after this show airs if you don't have plans this Saturday to go see Emily in Southlake. And she'll be at an event with Kendra Scott and Williams Athletic. They have this adorable line of golf, tennis, athletic wear. And it's at the Kendra Scott store at Southlake Town Center. And I'm so excited that we have a beneficiary too. That's somebody that we both, I know it was like, we were excited and quickly agreed on, was the Lost Stuffy Project. And so 20% of anything that comes in during this event that day will be going to the Lost Stuffy Project, which helps reunite stuffies with kids who have lost their little loved and cherished stuffies in disasters such as the flood. And I'm sure that is a lot of what the Lost Stuffy Project is doing right now, is helping reunite. If the kids are no longer here, then it's the families getting their stuffies that belong to the kids. If the kids are here and they lost their things, or the family lost some of their kids' things, they help deliver them back to their rightful owners. So I'm glad that we can give back in a small way, and hopefully people can go out and shop with Emily on Saturday.
Come hang out with me Saturday, 9 a.m. at the Kendra Scott in Southlake Town Square. Okay, news desk today. We've got a special guest. Super excited to hear, let you guys hear what she had to say. A badass businesswoman who has made quite the career for herself. Just published a book. I think it's her second or maybe even third one. Her name's Sarah Armstrong. She is the Vice President of Global Marketing Operations at Google. So we had a chance to speak with her, get some insight, pick her brain. That would be weird. Pick her brain about surviving in the business world and the mama world.
And we are super excited now on the Mom Game to have another working mom guest to talk about life and the juggle and the balance of it all. Sarah Armstrong, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Yes, we've really been looking forward to it. We always love talking to moms that have done a lot in their careers, that have maybe made it to where they're trying to get to in their career, but are still trying to figure it all out. And you were kind enough to send us a book, The Art of the Juggling Act. But your title alone, VP of Global Marketing for Google.
Yeah, Global Marketing Operations. Yeah.
Global Marketing Operations. Yeah. That's big. Tell us about that job.
Well, it's a fun and exciting and, you know, challenging role in many ways, just to help Google marketing work better is the way I simplify it down. But so I work very much behind the scenes and kind of building the backbone of how marketing is done at Google. So
you have a long career in marketing, and then you also were an athlete in college. That speaks to us as well, as we talk about momming and sportsing quite a bit on this show. Can you kind of take us through, you know, your college and career journey and how you kind of settled on this path?
Yeah, no, it's great. Actually, I think being a student athlete has probably formed me more than any other aspect of my life, I would say. And so I played volleyball and in many sports growing up, but I decided to play volleyball in college and went to Georgetown and paid my way through school back in the day and loved it. Loved every minute of being on the court and then being kind of student athlete and also having a social life. Just trying to do it all at that stage. And I think that was a great training ground for then going into the working world and trying to adult and do the adulting thing. And then after adulting and figuring that out for a bit, then figuring out what it would look like to become a parent. And I have a daughter, Grace, who's now 22. She just graduated from college. But so what it would look like to do this juggling act of being a working parent and a working mom. And I always knew that I wanted to work and have a family. That was something I was always very clear on. I didn't quite know what I wanted to do in life until I kind of sorted that out over the course of my career. But yeah, so it was really a combination of things. But my being a student athlete and some of the wiring that I think you get as student athlete, I think set me up for then trying to figure out how to manage the juggling act.
So you mentioned it, the juggling act, which was the book that you sent us. And I have some bookmarks in it, as you can tell. I'm trying to learn a lot. And it seems like, you know, I guess, how did you figure all this out? It's very much a work in progress, isn't it?
It is. It's such a work in progress. Well, you know, it's interesting. As I was thinking about, the reflections that came together in this book, you know, the thing is, we learn a lot in school. But we don't learn about parenting in school, right? We go to school for a lot of things, but we don't go to school for parenting. We also don't learn about how to manage our career in school. You know, we might go to school to learn something that we will do in our career, but to actually manage our career.
Yeah.
And then how to manage both of those aspects of our life that are two of the most important things that we're going to do in life and do them at the same time and want to do them well. And actually be kind of healthy and happy and enjoy both aspects. I think that's really one of the things that led me to reflect on what I'd learned along the way and how to share that. And, you know, I see so many, I'm fortunate to work with so many young parents in my day-to-day roles over the course of my career and even right now. And, you know, my goal is to pay it forward to all of the working parents that I see out there, because I see a lot that are surviving but maybe not thriving in the day-to-day. And that just, you know, I look at that and say, gosh, how can we help everyone, help each other to thrive? And what does that look like? And I do think it comes down to very kind of bite-sized moments and bite-sized actions that you can help put in place that can help things, I think, work better on both sides of your life. And so that's what the book is all about, these very bite-sized pieces of guidance.
Yeah. And a lot of it too comes from mistakes, right? Like learning from those mistakes, which we all make and we're going to continue to make. But I guess too, that's an important lesson. You know, I try to teach my kids is that, you know, you learn more from failure than you do from success. And you've got to, you know, the key to learning is making mistakes and trying not to repeat those.
Absolutely. And one of the mantras I used to tell myself and still do, but I think we tell our kids this all the time, is I said, you know, I'm doing the best I can. You know, and some days doing the best I can was better than others. And I would actually say that to Grace, you know, something would, you know, not quite go as planned in our lives. And I say, Grace, Mom's doing the best you can. And I should mention, you know, through the course of raising Grace, I did get divorced when she was 7. And so I had to go from being in a, you know, joint co-parenting relationship in under the same roof to co-parenting under two different roofs and become a single working mom. So I think, you know, a different transition in life as well, but also something that, you know, I had to adjust to, and that had its own learnings. And again, both, you know, the things you learn that both strengthen you, but you think back and well, wow, that was a lot of the time. So yeah, I do think we make mistakes, we learn from them, but I think it's acknowledging those moments and then, you know, moving on and figuring it out. And there's a lot with parenting, figuring it out as you, you know, go along. And but then how can we share with each other so some of those things that each of us have learned can help the other to maybe not make that same mistake.
Yeah, it's great that you did that and you put it all in writing. And you know, you see a lot of kids or young women, I guess you could say, that have a goal. They are very career oriented. They go to college to pursue that goal and they get a dream job. And then a few years into their dream job, they end up leaving the job to be a mom, which is totally fine. But I'm just wondering your perspective on that, because it is. I mean, that's how I was. That's how Emily was. We're both still managing our careers with our kids. We've had to shift a lot of things. But to me, a little bit of my heart breaks when I see that happen. And then you see them kind of not get back into the workforce if there's somebody that maybe was born to do this and they're really great at it and they could be a wonderful female leader in their career. So I just want to get your perspective on all that. Obviously, staying home is great. Working is great. Both sides. Yeah. But how do you see all that?
It's such a great, well, first of all, I think both are challenging. you know, I look at my stay-at-home mom with friends with great respect because I know I couldn't do that. You know, it's actually something I really knew. And actually just a quick reflection that Grace said to me at age 16, after obviously we'd gone through a lot of me raising her as a working mom. And she said, "Mom, thank God you worked. You would have driven us both crazy."
My kids say the same thing. Yeah. We don't want a world where mom doesn't work because exactly. She's going to make us all insane. Yeah.
So thankfully there was recognition from Grace that this was the right choice for me. But you know what? It comes down to it being a choice, you know, and some people choose to stay at home. Some people choose to work. But to your point that I think is interesting, when Emily, in terms of when you see someone that you know could probably manage a juggling act, but makes that choice, you know, the thing I always say when I have a young mom who's, and even moms at different stages of life, to kind of say, you know what, I just, you know, I might not do this anymore. And I always say, is there a way for you to keep the toe in the game? You know, is there a way to keep the muscles, you know, a little bit moving? Because I do think when you fully step away and then you try to reenter potentially a number of years later, sometimes it works out. And I've had friends who are stay-at-home moms who have stepped away and then reentered. But they've done it, but it hasn't been without, I'd say, trade-offs. But by the way, there's trade-offs in both of these scenarios, right? Whether you stay at home, whether you choose to work, the trade-offs are there. So it's just a matter of what trade-offs you're willing to live with. And, you know, I think those are really personal choices. But yeah, I've seen those moments, as you've said, and I just always try to give the counsel, you know, try to think about how you could keep your toe in the game. And if they say, I just can't, then I respect that. And, you know, I'm there for them as a different type of sounding board when they decide to go down that path versus if they decide to kind of stay in the game, quote unquote, and what that looks like.
So did you, like, who did you kind of lean on to put all of this into a book, you know, as far as getting other people's perspective, using your own experiences and kind of how that all came about?
Yeah, it's interesting. So first, you know, I'd written a first book that actually allowed me. So my first book's called The Mom's Guide to a Good Divorce, which I hope no one ever needs. But if people need
it, have a guide if you do.
if you do, I always say you don't get married to get divorced and you don't plan for your divorce. So when it finally happens, you need some help. So I'd written this first book and had kind of a way of thinking about how I would share this knowledge in very bite-sized pieces. And ironically, though, all of the topics that are in The Art of the Juggling that book, I'd been doing a lot of conversations over the years with colleagues and younger colleagues, and they would ask me questions and I'd give them some guidance or advice and I'd write it down on my phone on this list. I mean, I just started, I'm like, well, I did not ever intend to write a book. Ironically, I don't even consider myself a writer, but I thought, oh, so I can remember it to give that guidance next time. And so I started this list and I started just jotting these things down. And over the course of time, and once I'd written the divorce book, I thought, you know, there's something here. And so I started really kind of fleshing out the various points of guidance. And then I went back to my working mom friends who we'd all been in this, you know, journey together over the years. And I said, you know, what are some of your reflections? And so there's a lot of contributors to my book, which are other working moms from various industries, various, you know, things that they were juggling. And so they contributed. And then interestingly enough, Grace is actually, she double majored in forensic psychology and creative writing. Interesting combo. And really, nice. she's the writer in the family. And so she actually was the editor for this book.
Oh, cool.
My second book. And in doing that, it allowed me to see, you know, what I was sharing, did it resonate with her? Like, is this how I raised you? So she was a contributor in her own right how the book came together. So it was just over the course of time. And I wrote this over many years. I have enough deadlines in my life with my day-to-day role that I just gave myself time and said, I'd like to publish this before Grace graduates from college was my goal. And she graduated this year and I published it this last year. So, it's really my giving back. I mean, I see this as just trying to help as many parents and specifically women as possible, figure things out.
I love it. And I love, you mentioned the bite size, and I think that's the most appealing part of it to me, just being somebody that doesn't have time to sit down and read a whole like novel about life or even listen to a really long podcast where they're going to give me a lot of tips. But I love how it's broken up into these little, you know, pieces of advice. And the one here that I have bookmarked, I was just going to ask you about real quick, because this is something Emily and I talk about a lot. The power of saying no. I highlighted that here, and you also have stuff like, you know, what to do with your children's stuff they bring home from school, which is another problem. It's like, you know, we talk about both of these things, but the power of saying no, I feel like, is a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to reflect, so there's 140 bite-sized pieces of guidance in this book, and it's all broken. It's generally a page, half a page, a page. I joke, no one has time to read, especially a working parent or a working mom. So the fact that I wrote a book is a little bit ironic, but I think if you're going to look for some guidance, you can literally flip open the table of contents, scan it, and look for the topic that resonates with you or that you're looking for guidance on, and then dig into it. But the power of saying no is actually, gosh, I wish I'd been given this guidance years ago. I only received it about 8 years ago when I was working with someone when I was in a different role. And I had been asked to attend a meeting with him when I would need to travel, and I was unable to do it. I called him and I was trying to explain, and he stopped me and he said, "Sarah," he goes, "all you need to say is no. You don't need to explain why you're saying no. The minute you start explaining why you said no, you're saying no, I have the ability to judge whether you've made the right decision for me, and that's not really my call. You know, it's your choice of why you're saying no. So don't feel the need to explain." And he said it to me, and I said, oh my God, I wish I'd been given that, you know, advice years ago. And so I use it, by the way, both professionally and personally, because there's times you're asked to do something and you need to say no. And the minute you start explaining to the person why you're not going to do A, what they asked you to do, or B, where they wanted you to be, you are giving them the ability to judge that moment where it's really not theirs to judge. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I'd almost like taken back some as semblance of power in my own life to manage things by using that really interesting little nugget of advice.
Yeah. And it's so true, because you feel bad for saying no, but then you're like, why am I feeling bad? Like, yeah, I shouldn't feel guilty for saying, I shouldn't have to justify it. And I've gotten to that point in my life where I've gotten so much better about it. And I think that comes a lot with, you know, being a people pleaser. You want to make everybody happy. You want to do all the things, but at the end of the day, you need to look out for yourself. And I think, especially as working moms, we lose sight of that a lot, to where we're the very last priority, and, you know, and trying to make everybody else happy and everybody else's lives easier. I think a lot of us fall into that trap, and you're exactly right. That ability and that power to say no, just no, that's it.
Just yeah, no. Just let it go off. It is something, and it's actually kind of a muscle, because you have to get used to it. You have to get comfortable with saying no and not having, because we naturally want to then followed up, you know, and so just to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't make it, you know, and just.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I have to ask you one like Google question.
Okay. Okay.
I just think that's gotta be the coolest job, as quickly as the industry is like changing and stuff. I mean, what all, I guess, are you seeing in a day to day? How is like AI affecting all of it?
It is. It's affecting everything.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, it's a it is a big era of change in the world, and it's a fascinating time to be in the world as AI is a technology that's going to influence so many aspects of our life. So it really is. It's a fun and interesting time to be working and living in this era.
I bet. Yeah, I bet every day is exciting.
I think it affects. Yeah, it's like you said, it's affecting everything, everyone. Yeah, and you're kind of right in the thick of it as far as, I mean, you think of stuff like that. It's Google is at the top of the list of, you know, the developments technology wise. So yeah, cool position.
AI doesn't have this experience though. They haven't parented. That's they don't know about that.
Yeah, they can't figure that shit out. Trust me. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. Please, can you tell people, I mean, I would assume all the normal places, but tell people where they can find your book.
Yeah, all the normal places, you know, Amazon and all the various book selling sites out there, both in a paperback and in an ebook, iBook, Kindle version. And I do hope, I mean, the whole goal is to help as many parents as possible to kind of go from surviving to thriving. And you can also reach out to me at thejugglingact.com, which is my website where all my information and, you know, ways of contacting and staying connected are there. So
yeah, just Google it.
Just Google it, right?
That's right. That's what we'll find me.
Yeah, thank you so much. We end every show. It's kind of cheesy, but we've done it for 5 years and we're not going to stop now. But we throw up the peace signs and we say mom game out. So on the count of three, throw up your peace signs and say mom game out. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Mom game out.
Thank you, Sarah. That was awesome.
Sarah. Oh, thank you both. So
that
fun.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, well, it's I love what you both are doing, and it's I think it's just important to help as many moms out there. It is not.
Thank you. We all need that. We'd love to do. I don't know. Maybe we can talk to your people if there's like a way to do a giveaway with the books or somehow get them out to some of our listeners.
Yep, sure.
I think they would love to to have them.
Happy to. Let me know if there's some things you want to do in that angle. Happy to do.
Perfect. That sounds great. Okay. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Have a good day. Take care.
You too.
Thanks. You too.
Right.
Bye-bye.